Hi everyone, and welcome to my first actual official podcast. Thanks to those that listened to the introduction, I really appreciate it. So, talking today's podcast, we are going to chat about the importance of brushing your dog. I know it sounds a bit like really short, but in actual fact, going through brushing your dog, I've written, 3.5 A4 pages worth of details and information about brushing your dog. So I want to share that with you because it's not just as easy as, picking up a brush and just giving it a once over when you feel like it. It's really important, not only for your dog and for you, but for the groomers as well. If you brush your dog more often at home, you are going to save, A, yourself money at the groomers, because you're not going to have to pay a dematting surcharge. B, you're going to make your dog's experience at the groomers so much nicer, because they're not going to have to be tugged and pulled on the mats. But we'll go more into matting later on. So, with brushing, it is a bonding time between you and your four-legged friends. So it's not just your dogs, but cats and rabbits, chinchillas, they all need brushing too. So when brushing your dog, it's not just benefiting them. It's also amazing for us humans. So I didn't know if anybody knows that when you're brushing your dog, it's not just a feel-good experience for them because they're like, oh yeah, I'm having a brush. It's actually benefiting you as a person and your insides, like hormones and everything. So when you're stroking and brushing your pets, it releases a hormone called oxytocin in both humans and other animals and species. So the hormone oxytocin isn't just getting released in you, it's also getting released in your animal and pet that you're brushing. Oxytocin is a positive emotional hormone, and it makes you feel better. So you know when you've had a really shit day and you just want to give your dog a stroke, as soon as you start stroking your dog, they know that you're having a shit day. And when you stroke your dog, you're releasing a hormone that's sort of calming you and relaxing you. And it's the same with the dog. They pick up on those hormones too. They have a very similar emotional state to what we do. So when we're stressed, they're stressed. When we're calm, they're calm. It's really funny how they're connected to you. They are bonded to you. You're bonded to your animals. It's amazing how it works. And dogs and animals are now being used more than ever in a really, really, really amazing way. So they're being used as therapy pets and therapy animals. So what a lot of people are doing is that they're going into schools with these therapy pets, not just schools, like care homes, respite homes, hospitals, homes for children, that, you know, orphans and whatnot, if you call them orphans anymore, children in foster homes, that's what I was looking for. So they go to these facilities to be therapy pets. And I actually watched the other night Educating the Greater Manchester, I think it's called. I think it's on Channel 4. But the head teacher of the school, he introduced a therapy session for certain selected children. So I think one of the girls had ADHD and she was always running out of class and phoning her dad in class and just not paying attention to what she was doing. She was never on time to her lessons or she was leaving early. She was just bored and having enough of being at school. So the head teacher brought in this therapy dog for her to look after. And the dog's name was Beans, I think. And she had the responsibility to look after this border collie all day during her lessons at school. So she took the dog to every lesson with her. And she had such an improvement when she was at school. So she was getting to her lessons on time. She was actually concentrating on doing the work. And it was amazing to see that this therapy dog that they brought in for her really made a difference to how she was studying at school and how it was helping her with her ADHD. And another pet that they brought in was a chinchilla. So the chinchilla went to a girl who had or has anxiety. Her anxiety was caused by her dad being ill when she was younger, and that she was always scared of him passing away. And in the program it said that he's better and everything's okay at home, but it still has that effect on her mental state, and that it's affecting her and it's causing her to have these anxiety attacks completely out of the blue and in different situations. So they brought in this chinchilla for her to look after during the day. And again, it made such a difference to her. She was nervous at first to have the chinchilla because she thought that the chinchilla was scary and she wasn't really interested in it. But then once they came in and sort of discussed it with her, she felt so relaxed and so comfortable that this chinchilla kept running off on different tables, but then would soon come back to her because, again, they've built that bond between one another. And she said in the interview that she felt relaxed and happy, and she absolutely loved having the chinchilla there. And that's because it's releasing those endorphins and the oxytocins during these sessions that she's got with this therapy pet while she's at school, and it's helping her stay focused. And then there was a boy who also has ADHD, and he was always saying that he couldn't concentrate in class and he had a million things going on in his mind at the same time, and he was doing really badly. So he had a rabbit to look after, and he now wants a pet rabbit at home in order to help him with his ADHD, because he even wrote a poem about the rabbit saying that it's helped him and he's concentrating and he's focused, which is amazing to think that these animals that are just being taken advantage of by millions of people can do such amazing things in a small space of a classroom. You know, they had four types of animals, I think, in total. It might have been five, but four or five different types of animals, all doing a very similar job by helping these children with their mental health and with their ADHD and conditions that they have. And it was just amazing to see that what a difference they made to them in the space of a day at school. To think that maybe potentially this was something that could be introduced permanently in so many different schools across the world, to be able to help students and teachers even work together and be better at what they're trying to concentrate on doing by releasing these hormones and endorphins. So when you're brushing your pets at home, like I already said, it's releasing those hormones to make you feel better. And that's what it was doing at these students at the school. They weren't brushing the dogs or brushing the rabbit, but they were stroking. And it's very much the same way as, you know, brushing. So not only does it release oxytocin, but it also, brushing your dog and brushing your cat, pet, whatnot, it also releases the feel-good hormones. I'm going to say it's wrong, probably, but serotonin and dopamine. I know what I mean, but I'm probably saying it wrong. Anyway, my pronunciation. Mind my pronunciation is the word that I am after, and I'm so sorry that you just had to listen to those few seconds of me getting stuck in my brain. So these hormones, these feel-good hormones that get released when you're brushing your pets, it helps so many people suffer with anxiety or depression, and it's the connection as well that grows between you and your pet that you are brushing and you are stroking and caring for. It's so important to have that bond between one another. So, the importance of brushing your pets. So, brushing helps distribute the natural oils in your dog's coat. Unlike cats, dogs can't groom themselves. Obviously, they can lick their feet and do the dirty stuff that you'd normally say to them, "Stop doing that!" But they cannot clean themselves on their backs and things. So, that's where we come in to help them. So they need our help to be brushed, because when you brush your dog, if you didn't know already, but your dog's skin has natural oils in it, the same as our skin has natural oils. So when you brush your dog, you're spreading those natural oils that's amazing for the dog's coat and skin, and it gives it that nice shiny glow and the soft feel. When you brush them, you're spreading that across your dog's body, which is what they wouldn't be able to do themselves like cats. So when cats groom themselves, they're spreading the natural oils across their body, whereas dogs and other animals that can't necessarily bend and turn like a cat can, when you brush them, you're doing that job for them, which helps them out massively and looks after the condition of the skin and the coat. So it also prevents any painful matting. If you have ever had someone pull your hair really hard, or even just a little bit, it hurts. It bloody hurts. So you know how painful it feels and how painful it can be. Imagine that sharp sensation literally all over your entire body. It's not pleasant at all. So that is now how a matted dog feels. That whole sensation that you've got of the hair being pulled, that is how a matted dog feels all over. Not only is matting painful, they also hide and even can cause skin problems and infections. And that's nothing you want for your dog. The last thing you want is by not brushing your dog, causing them matting, causing them skin problems and infections, to then cause your bank balance to fade like there's no tomorrow because you're going to have an expensive vet bill because you didn't brush your dog. Nothing says I neglect my dog more than a full coat that needs to be clipped off. It is the worst thing for a groomer. We, as a groomer, we hate clipping off dogs. That's not what we were doing our jobs for. We don't spend hours, days, months, weeks training and qualifying in dog grooming or animal management to then just clip your dog off because it's matted. As a dog groomer, we are a professional stylist. So if you come to me with your cockapoo, which is the most popular dog that has to be clipped off because they're matted. So you come to me with your cockapoo and you say, "Oh, I really like this cockapoo that I've got to keep its fluffy coat nice and long. I really like him looking like a teddy bear." And I will say to you, "Have you been brushing him?" "Oh, yeah, I brush him all the time." "Okay, that's fine." So then I get my brush and my comb and I start to brush and comb the cockapoo for then my brush and comb to not go through the coat. So then, unfortunately, because nothing will go through the coat, so we've tried the slicker brush, we've tried the comb, we've tried clipping it off with a longer comb attachment to see if that will go through the knots, and nothing is working. We've tried all the anti-tangle shampoos, conditioners, detangling sprays, even cornflour. We've tried cornflour, and nothing is getting these mats off of your dog. Unfortunately, your dog is going to have to be clipped off. And that is the last thing you want. Looking out my window now, it's the last thing you want in this type of weather for your dog to go home completely shaved off because it hasn't been brushed. And when you come in and say, "I'd like my dog looking like a teddy bear," and then when you leave, your dog has been shaved like a sheep in spring because you haven't brushed him. In order to get the teddy bear cut, you need to brush and comb your dog. It makes sense. You wake up every day, maybe not men, I don't know what men do with their hair. I know my husband brushes his hair every day, but I know that I wake up in the morning and I brush my hair every single day. And if I didn't brush my hair every single day, I would then get knots, and then I wouldn't be able to go to the hairdressers with a full head of knots, because she would just turn around and say, well, Charlotte, you need to get it cut, because I can't brush through these. And it's exactly the same with dogs. If you want a certain style on your dog, and you haven't been maintaining the coat at home in between grooms, then it makes it really difficult and not enjoyable for us as a groomer. We don't want to clip your dog's coat off. We want to style, because that is our job, to style your dog's coat. We don't get qualifications and educated just to clip off your dog. We get styled. We do styling. That's our job. Not only does brushing your dog prevent them from matting and getting knots and tangles, it also helps and allows owners to spot any unusual bumps, lumps, or parasites or skin conditions that may be lurking under your coat, under your dog's coat. So you have your beautiful fluffy chow chow, and if you've got a brush and you're going through the coat, you can then look at the hair that you're getting off on the brush and give it a good inspection. So you might be able to see any fleas that are in the coat, or if you're looking through the skin, you can see any ticks, any cysts, any irritated skin. So not only is brushing beneficial for the dog's coat, again, it's also beneficial for your bank balance, because in the long run, if you don't notice these cysts or these skin irritations or parasites that are lurking in your dog's coat and skin because you're not brushing it, you're then going to have a really another expensive vet bill when you do notice it 6 months down the long line, when your dog's not very well and you're thinking, oh my God, what's wrong with my dog? Whereas if you're brushing your dog and maintaining the coat, you can see if there's anything different and any change in your dog's body. It's not such a nice story, unfortunately, but it's a truthful story. And that's exactly what I'm on here talking to you for, is to be honest and truthful about the dog grooming industry and, you know, and what happens. So a couple of years ago, I had a very large dog in. He only came in probably once every 6 months, if that, maybe a little bit closer together in time. And he hadn't been brushed at home, so he was quite matted. So I then started clipping him off, and I started to brush his head, and I thought, oh my goodness, God, he's got quite a large mat on the top of his head. So I had a feel of it, and I felt it, and I went, oh my God, that's not actually a mat. That's part of his head. That's on his skull. So I then informed the owner when they collected him, and I said, look, I'm not sure if you're aware, but he's got this big lump on his head. Obviously, me not being a vet, I can't diagnose what that is. So I would recommend that he would then go and see a vet to get it looked at and to check that it's not anything serious and that it's okay. So they then said to me, oh, we never noticed that on his head. And I'm talking about this lump on his head was probably the size of a tennis ball. Okay, I'm not exaggerating, it was the size of a tennis ball. So I then said, okay, get him checked by the vet, let me know how he gets on. A week later, I think they phoned me to say thank you for letting us know that you found that lump on his head. Unfortunately, it did turn out to be a tumour, and there was nothing that they could do about it. Now, the importance of the story and why I'm telling you this is because, yes, their dog was matted. So maybe, potentially, if they had brushed him more often, or even sat there with him and stroked him more often. I mean, I stroke my dog's head every single day, but that's me. I'm a crazy dog lady. So I love my dogs and I adore my dogs, and I would give them 100 affection every day, all day. And it just makes me think, if you'd stroked your dog that little bit more than you would normally, maybe you would notice these things earlier than a groomer would. So they brought him to me every 6 months, maybe a little bit less, like I said. But if they had brought him in more often than 6 months, like recommended, then maybe they could have noticed the lump earlier before it had got into a more developed tumour, and a more developed tumour. Oh my goodness. Before it got worse, is what I'm trying to say. So, if you are listening, which I really hope you are, whilst you're listening, go and spend some time with your pooch. Just give them a check over. Give them a good head scratch, or behind the ear, or inside the ear. It was only last night that I had my dog Luna on the bed with me, and I was feeling the inside of her ear, and I could feel a skin thing on the inside. So I then stopped stroking her and got my torch, because it was pitch black, and looked at the inside of her ear, and it was actually a scab. So then I then knew that she had been play fighting with her other dog, and that's what that scab was. So you can then prevent the worst things happening by just the simplest task of brushing your dog. 5 minutes a day. If you can't spare 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes every other day. If you love your dog and you want your dog to be around for as long as possible, which I hope we all do, then you should have those 5 minutes to sit down with your dog, brush them, check their teeth, check their ears, check their anal glands, anything that you think, oh, maybe I'm not paying enough attention. Spend those couple of minutes when you sat on the sofa with your dog having a check over. It's like an MOT for dogs, really. You need to check them over in order for them to keep going. So if something's changed in their behaviour, maybe think what's changed for them. So I've noticed with my dog Luna that we've recently changed her food, and I've noticed that she's molting a lot more than she did this time last year. So I'm now thinking that it's her food that's causing her to molt this much and make her fur or hair or coat even very, very coarse than what it used to be. So we're now looking at changing her food and diet again to be able to help her cope better. So spend those extra minutes a couple of times a day just checking over your pooch and making sure that they're okay and fit and healthy, because the last thing you want, even for me, the last thing we want is a very expensive vet bill for something that could have been prevented. So back onto the task of brushing. I've come off a bit of a tangent here, so I do apologise. But I'm just putting my point of view across, which is what you're listening for. So, brushing your dog or pet, rabbit, etc., because I brush my rabbit as well, will reduce the amount of shedding that they do. So, I've got two border collies, and now normally, because they're double coated, so that means that they've got two layers to their coat, they tend to molt, or their coat changes about twice a year. So I normally notice a coat change in the spring, when spring starts to change to summer, and when autumn starts to change to winter. That is when I notice that my dog's coats are changing. So it will change in texture, it will change in look, it will change in volume. So normally in the spring and summertime, my dog's coat will get shorter and not molt as much, but in that transition of changing from coat types or volume of coat, they will molt so much. And it also normally seems to be that when we get a large number of double coated dogs coming in for their grooms, is normally when they have their change of coat. Because you have the double coats, like the Labradors, the Huskies, the German Shepherds, who people don't tend to think that they need grooming, but they do need grooming. So I will say to clients, oh, if you have a double coated dog, on average, I'd recommend that they get groomed every 8 to 10 weeks. This is because if you get your dog groomed, your double coated, if you get your, say, Labrador groomed every 8 to 10 weeks, when they then change their coat for spring/summer, and then autumn/winter, when they get their change of their coats, they won't have as much hair that is coming off of them in your living room, your kitchen, your house, or wherever, because they're getting regular grooms throughout the year. So by brushing your dog on a daily basis and then getting them groomed every 8 to 10 weeks, you're going to reduce the amount of coat that is going to be shedding in the times that they change their coats. And you will notice a difference. So I've also had a German Shepherd in the past, and I recommended that they came in every 6 to 8 weeks, because this German Shepherd had not been groomed. It was, I think she was 8 or 9 years old, and she had never been groomed. And as a groomer, when you hear that story, it's absolutely devastating and heartbreaking. So I took on the challenge of grooming this German Shepherd, and it took me 5 hours before I got to the point where I'd had enough. So I then said, she needs to come back in a week's time, because it was just, you think of nine years of not brushing your own hair is crazy. So to put that in a big German Shepherd, for the time that it took me, I took out about 4 black sacks full of dead coat and dead skin. And by her not being groomed for that amount of time, her skin was awful. It was so flaky and so irritated. She had sores. And it's just a case of, it all starts by brushing your dog. When you brush your dog, you can see anything that's going on in the coat and anything else that's going on in the skin. And if you stick to a regular grooming schedule, your dog is going to benefit from it. Not only by the coat being in a great, amazing shape, but also by your dog being used to it. If your dog has regular grooms, they will feel more comfortable and more used to it. And therefore, you as an owner will not have any worries or any issues with your dog going to the groomers. I've had clients come to me before where they've had, say a Jack Russell that's 11 years old. And this 11-year-old Jack Russell is getting old. He's losing teeth. He's getting a bit stinky. And he's never been to the groomers. Now, as me as a groomer, I would not put that Jack Russell through that experience at the age of 11 years old and never being to the groomers. That's like you're in your late 70s and you've never been to the dentist or never been to the hairdressers. It's not an experience that you're going to enjoy if you've never had it before. It's going to freak you out. And I cannot reiterate how important it is for your dog to have a grooming session once they've had all their vaccinations. So I think it's a week or 2 weeks after they've finished their final lot of vaccinations and they're allowed to go out on their walks. Get your dog booked in for a puppy introduction at the groomers, because it will then give the dog reassurance that they're okay and then it's not going to stress them out. The longer you leave it, the more stress you're going to cause your dog. And especially if you've got breeds like cockapoos and poodles and what else have we got? Anything that takes time and has like a wool coat, so like your Bichons, your poodles, and as I said, your cockapoos, because they're a crossbreed. So cockapoo is one of the most popular breeds that we have in our parlours. Now, I'm going to say 8 out of 10 cockapoos come to us matted. That is either because they've been told by their breeders to not get their dog groomed until they are a year old. God knows why these breeders are telling clients to not get their dog groomed until they're a year old. Because if you're listening, if you're new to having a puppy, you're going to listen to that breeder because you don't really necessarily know what to expect when you're getting a puppy. So you're going to listen to that breeder. Then you're going to wait an entire year until your cockapoo is 1 year old and then decide that it's time to get your dog groomed. So they've then had 12 months of not being used to being groomed and not being brushed or combed or washed and dried. And then you're going to bring them in for a grooming introduction, a year old, this is what causes behaviour problems. So I cannot stress enough that the earliest you get your puppies groomed, the easier it is going to be for both you, your dog, and your groomer. You need to have that relationship with your groomer that you know your dog is in safe hands and that the groomer knows the dog is going to be well behaved. Obviously, we get the odd dog that, yes, it's been groomed from a puppy and it still doesn't like being groomed, but that's okay. We work with those dogs. But if you can prevent that from happening, then just spend that time when you get a dog, or even before you get a puppy, think about the grooming side as well. If you want an easy dog that's not going to take your time up and whatnot, then maybe Cockapoo isn't for you, or maybe a Pomeranian isn't for you. You have to really look at the grooming aspects too, and grooming costs. People tend to not take into consideration when they're purchasing puppies or rescuing dogs at what the grooming costs are going to be. So you may get a puppy, I mean, not at the moment because puppy prices have tripled and volumed since lockdown. So I paid £250 for one of my border collies, and that was 3 years ago. So if you then get your border collie for £250, you think, great, that's amazing. So then you have to think and consider it, take into consideration even, of your grooming costs. So say if you were to get a Cockapoo for whatever price they are, I think they're nearly £2,500 now, you then have to add, on average, between £35 and £55 every 4 to 6 weeks for a grooming appointment for your dog. Don't forget that important part of having a dog. The grooming needs to be taken into consideration when you're rescuing any puppy or buying any puppy. Please don't go and buy a puppy, especially your poodle crosses and your wool coats, if you're not going to be able to afford or manage to groom them. Because it is not fair on that dog, and it is not fair on you having that dog if you cannot maintain the coat. But the reason I babble on a lot, excuse me, the reason I babble on a lot is because I cannot stress how important it is. It all leads back to the simple task of brushing your dog. It's a long story, long-winded, but cut short. When you purchase a dog or rescue a dog, build that bond and that friendship with your dog by brushing and combing them. By brushing and combing them, you then prevent any health and disease problems. It is a win-win scenario. Build that bond with your dog and maintain their coat. So a guidance onto brushing your dog. When you have your brush, you want to brush down and out, same as you would on your own hair, ensuring the brush bristles go down to the dog's skin and not just on the top coat layer. In order to go down to the skin, you're then getting rid of any excess hair that they don't need and being able to prevent any matting that's going to possibly happen if you don't go to that layer of skin. When you're brushing your dog's coat, be gentle. Overbrushing can cause slicker burns and irritate your pet's skin. So if you get your slicker brush, test it on yourself first. So get your slicker brush and just brush your arm. If you excessively brush your arm, say 10 times on the same spot, you'll then come up with a slight red rash. Then picture that on your dog. That is a slicker burn. When you're excessively brushing and you're using a force on your dog's skin, you're causing irritation to that dog. So brushes you should use. So for short-haired dogs and double-coated dogs, so you've got your boxers, your pugs, your Labradors, use a type of equipment called a Zoom Groom. It's like a silicone brush, really. And it's like a rubber, it's made out of rubber. And it's got like a little bubbles on it. It's not harsh or anything. It's nice and smooth to be able to then go through their smooth coat. You've then got your grooming gloves, which is the same sort of thing, but obviously it's the size of your hand and you just fit your hand in it and go that way. Or a rubber brush, or even a Furminator. Using these types of brushes on your smooth coats and your short-haired and double-coated, like your Labradors, you will then remove any excess hair that they don't need and keep the condition of their coat perfect. So if you have a type of dog that's got a silk coat, like your Maltese or your Yorkies, then you need a pin brush and a comb, and if worst case, a dematter. But if you are at the stage of needing a dematter, then you need to book a dog into the groomers. So with the pin brush, it then goes through the coat. You want again brush down and out, especially if you've got a long coated Yorkshire Terrier or Maltese, like a full coat, show coat even, rather than your pet trim. And then if you have your wool coat types, so your curly coats, like poodle, Bichons, and your crossbreeds of the poodles, so your cockapoos, your cavapoos, we then want to use a slicker brush, which is a more invasive brush to be able to get through the coat better than you would your pin brush. You then want to follow it up with a metal comb, fine tooth and big tooth, wide tooth even, and a dematter again, worst case scenario. For your wired hairs, so you like your Border Terriers and your Schnauzers, again using a slicker. You can also use a metal comb, and again if you need to, your dematter. So you want to start from the top of the back of the neck, just at the top of the skull, and work your way down the body. So I just want to say a massive thank you for listening to my podcast. It's actually, again, surprised me how detailed and informative a simple task of brushing your dog is, and what can happen when you brush your dog and what can happen when you don't brush your dog. So again, I'm going to ask you to take those couple of minutes a day to sit down with your dogs and just get out the brush, give them a good scrub, tickle behind the ear, you know, under the chin, top of the head, check them all over and just make sure that they're okay. And if you have any questions, then some of you will know where I am, or send me a message if you find me, and ask any questions about brushing, anything you need to know. And if you think maybe your dog needs a groom, then give us a call and we'll be able to help you and give you the best tips and guidance on maintaining your dog's coat. I'm always happy to help people out, always. So just give me a shout if you need me. And then next week's podcast will be about... Dun, dun, dun. Next week's podcast is going to be about how I deal with anxious dogs. So any questions you've got about anxious dogs, if you think you have an anxious dog that you've not taken to the groomers because you're anxious as well as the dog is, then send me a message and I'll be able to help you out and answer you some questions in next week's podcast. So I just want to say a massive thank you for listening again. I hope you have a lovely rest of your day, and get sharing the podcast because it's informative. Sometimes it's fun. Enjoy your weekend, guys.